It's your choice. So, today we are going to do some exploratory surgery. I hope so. I think it's awesome. God opened my heart to a specific section in Scripture that we've all read and we understand, but maybe there's some things about it that we don't fully, completely understand. And He wants to bring us into unity, right? And if we've understood anything in the process of what we've been doing, move it away. Got it. Let me know if it needs to move further. Okay? If there's anything that we've not understood in this process that we've been going through, is that God is very interested in His kids. He's interested in where we are. He's interested in what's going on in our lives. And He's even more interested in how we are doing. That's His business, right? That was His business a long time ago, and it's still His business today. So if you guys can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, and that is pretty much the only place we're going to be. You won't have to move. See, I'm nice. I'm not giving you paper cuts. I'm trying to be nice. Or so it may seem. And as I'm getting there, the title is The Sum of Many Parts. And in this section of Scripture, we're getting a lesson from Paul. And he's giving this lesson to the Corinthians, and he's telling them about the body. Now, how many people know that you're the body? Right? Okay. So this was not a hard question. But do we really truly understand what part you are? Because it's really interesting in this whole section that you're going to get kind of a plethora of repeated messages over and over and over again. And I don't know if you're aware, but in Scripture, when things are repeated, they're important. Did you know that? When any kind of message is repeated multiple times, there's a reason. God's bringing that to our attention to bring it to our remembrance. He wants us to remember something specific. He wants us to remember something important. And so right here in this small section, a lot of themes are repeated over and over and over again. But it's for a good reason. So how many of us can sit here and agree that the enemy has designed many wicked schemes against us? Okay? Especially now. If we take a look, just an open up look of today's society, you see all kinds of issues that have crept up today, okay? You get something I like to call individualism. It's a real word. Look it up. What does it mean? Does anybody know? It means you are entirely focused on you. You believe in a society of one. You believe that the world does literally revolve around you. Your needs, your wants, your desires, everything you specifically have in your heart must be provided for and taken care of by everyone else. It's going on, okay? You're getting a resurgence of race wars and gender wars. You're getting a resurgence of all kinds of political stuff coming back into our faces, and it's all being spurred by a vessel known as social media, right? How many people blame social media? Don't, because it's not that's fault. It's an inanimate object. If you don't use it, it don't work. So what's the problem? What's the problem? People. We're the problem, right? We have been for generations and generations and generations, okay? But the issue is now today more than ever, there's more division. Over the past 3 or 4 decades, which I've only been around for 3 of them, okay? But some people have been around for 4 or more, can recognize that this process, this systemic scheme that the enemy has created to divide us and bring us further and further apart from each other is more flagrant than ever. Can you see that? And I'm not talking about just here in the church. I'm talking about worldwide, okay? The ability to create division or a schism is monumental in the enemy's attack against not just the church, but people worldwide. Okay? Now we know that, but what does this all mean and where we're going? What's happening is that this is actually seeds that were sown many, many millennia ago that are actually coming up and sprouting and are being harvested. Because so a man sows that he reaps. Now, although we may not have sown this crop, we're reaping it. There's nothing you can do about it, but there is something we can do together about it. And that's what this is about today. So hopefully we can get there all together in one, what is it, an Accord? A Honda? In one Accord. All right, so here we are. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 20 starts with, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and although all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." I don't know if you counted, but how many times was many parts and one body mentioned in that whole group of passage? A bunch. A bunch. So, many parts, one body. Repeated over and over again. This is important. So we're going to focus in on that. So let's get rid of all the hard stuff. Who is the body? We are. We are known as the church. Also known as the body. We are the church, right? This is not a church. The building is a building. You are the church. You are a living organism. The church is a living organism. Organism. It is a body. Now, I don't know about you, but I cannot be the church by myself. Because we just clearly understood what was read. Can you just be all by yourself? Or are you the sum of many parts? Because one part does not make the body. Right? We just read that. So, we get that. But, here's what many parts refers to. It refers to diversity. It actually means that every part is not the same. We saw that, right? There's a foot. There's an eye. There's an ear. Right? Clearly demarked different parts. There's not 27,000 feet that make up the body. That'd be a weird looking body. Just pointing it out there, okay? But what's unique is how unique each part is, okay? And now, even though in this description what was used was an eye or a hand, I want to challenge you to go deeper. Go deeper. Because what you're seeing here is historically where things were when this was written. But we can go deeper, can we not? Let's go deeper. Blood vessels, nerves, muscles, bones, tendons. Are these not parts? Were they written there? No. But how many of those parts made up the hand? All of them. Every single one of them made up just a hand. So, here's what's interesting. Can you see all those parts or do you just see a hand? I just see a hand. I don't know about you. I can't see muscles and tendons and bones. They're hidden underneath this stuff. This stuff. just hidden under, which is also, by the way, a part, also the largest part of your body, skin. Now, I'm not giving an anatomy lesson because I'm a genius in anatomy. I'm not. I suck at operation, actually. It's like the worst game. It's a nightmare. I can't stand it. But, there's something about that that is integral, because were we not uniquely made? Were we not created with all of these parts working together so that you function? You don't see how the nerves work. You don't see how the blood vessels pump blood. You don't see how the joints and the bones and the marrow are all interworking and combining and doing everything that they're doing. You don't see it. But does it mean they don't exist? No. We've been cut open. We've seen it. Medical science has given us a wonderful way of seeing all these things, not only just opened, but opened and working. As they're operating, these things are seen visibly working. Many of the doctors and scientists have gone in there with this God doesn't exist mentality. And then they open somebody up and they move a heart out of somebody's body and put it back into a new body, and it reactivates, and they go, that's not supposed to happen. Scientifically, it's proven. It's not supposed to happen. But it does. And they can't explain it. God can, because God made us. He knows. Right? So all these parts that we don't see, but they're there, and they exist, gives us something to think about. And I want us to think about this together, right? All these parts make up one body. That body is known as the church, right? But not all these parts are visible. So that means that there is a church that is not visible, but invisible. Wait a minute. What are we talking about? Church is invisible. I'm going to read a little excerpt out of my Bible, written by one R.C. Sproul, and he's talking about this. Because the church on earth is always what St. Augustine called a mixed body, it is necessary to distinguish between the visible church and the invisible church. In the visible church, consisting of those who make profession of faith, are baptized and enrolled in membership of the institutional church, Jesus indicated there would be tares growing along with the wheat. Though the church is holy, it always in this age has an unholy mixture within it. Not all of those who honor Christ with their lips honor him with their heart as well. Since God alone can read the human heart, the true elect are visible to him, but in some measure invisible to us. The invisible church is transparent, but completely visible to God. Here's where it's key, and this is the part I love. I would highlight the snot out of this part. It is the task of the elect. Who are the elect? Us. To make the invisible church visible. Wait a minute. What are you trying to say? I'll tell you what I'm trying to say. If our job as the elect is to move the invisible church, the parts that are not seen, okay, into the visible so that everyone can see, run with me. Think about how we know the inner workings of the human body. The improvements in medical science have revealed so much that we never knew existed. The reason this happened was because there was a desire to actually know what made the human body function and work. That's what spurred this. People were intrigued by all this. I'm not intrigued by this. I know God did it, and that's all that matters to me. But other people were. Okay? They saw an external structure that did things that did not make sense. They saw things that they couldn't explain. Okay? Maybe you go back to, like, you know, the early Stone Age when, you know, Caveman Joe stabs Caveman Bob, and then Caveman Bob has a hole and red stuff's coming out of him. What's that red stuff? Why did that come out of you? I don't get that. Well, I don't know. Caveman Bob puts a leaf over it, and then 3 days later, Caveman Bob's not having red stuff come out of him. Well, how did that happen? I don't know. continue this cycle for on and on and on and on and on, more of these mysteries kept happening to the point where people were like, I've had enough. I need to know what's inside that thing that makes that thing work. And so they explored. And they tried. They tried to find out what was going on. People have tried all kinds of weird things. Brain surgeries, heart surgeries, liver transplants, kidney transplants. You name it. If you have an organ inside you, there's probably somebody who tried to transplant it somewhere, somehow. I think they've transplanted a human head, by the way. That's scary. I'm just letting you know. Anyway. So. Here's what that means. If we take all those wonderful little side notes and, you know, comic relief parts, but take a bigger picture, look back at you and go, are you intriguing enough to have somebody want to open you up and see what's going on inside? See, because that's what that meant. See, the job of the elect to make the invisible church visible is, are we intriguing enough? Is what God's doing in your life intriguing enough to want to see other people come and go, I need to know what's going on in your life. I need to know what is happening with you because it doesn't make sense. It defies my logic. Do you defy logic? Do you defy reasoning? Because that's what got all these scientists to go ahead and want to cut human beings up to find out what's going on inside. Because they were confounded. God mystified medical people that are science-willed people that believe not in him, but in everything against him, to the point where they're like, I need to know how that works. And when they found out, they were brought to a point where it was like, it has to be God. Because there's no way all of this makes sense without a creator. And you don't make sense without a creator. And here's the best part, you have a living creator in you that gives you new things every day. Are you intriguing? But here's the thing, that doesn't mean enough. Because by myself, I could be the most interesting man in the world. I'll let the Dos Equis commercial run in your head for a minute. I could be. Do you care if I'm the most interesting man in the world? Somebody might. Two people maybe. I'm not that well known. I don't have that many followers on Facebook, okay? I'm not that popular. So I probably won't have a big impact if I'm the most interesting man in the world. It won't make a difference. But if you're the most interesting 100 people in Williamstown, you might make some noise. See, it's not about just one person. See, the next step is now we get that wonderful part understanding, right? We get that uniqueness. We get that part about who you really are and what part you play as the elect. And your responsibility is, okay, now I have a job to do. My job is I need to represent. I need to represent. Okay, that's good. That's step one. Now let's get to the next step. Go ahead, Ken. Load us up with the next block of knowledge. 12, 21 through 26. Didn't want to go too far. Yes. Same spot. We didn't move. Remember, I told you, not going to get paper cuts. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, oh, this is good. I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Come on. Come on. What's that mean? I'm excited. You guys aren't as excited as me. That's because you don't have the cliff notes. I have the cliff notes. What's the key word in this section? Does anybody know? Anybody? Take a shot. Stab in the dark. Shout it out. That's a lot of words. Indispensable's good. I'm going to give you the key word. Ready? Cannot. Did you just say cannot? You're close. It's cannot. But that'd give you a brownie point for. It's close enough. Cannot is the key word here. Why is it the key word? Because cannot means not able to. So what if I read this, right? And we go back and we get to that part where it says cannot. Where do we go? Thank you. I cannot or is not able to say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head is not able to actually say these words, I don't need you. Who is the head? Christ is the head. And what did he just say to you in written text? He needs you. Because he's not able to say, I don't need you. I can't go any further than that. I just got to let that sit. Paul expressed the absolute that body parts cannot devalue other parts. We cannot be separated. Immediately bringing to death any kind of idea or action that would bring division. There is no separation at all whatsoever in the body of Christ. None. There's no rhyme. There's no reason. There is no skin color. There is no gender. There is no ethnic barrier or background that causes division in the body of Christ, period. There is one church worldwide and is the Church of Christ. And it doesn't matter where you're from, what country you claim home. It doesn't matter if you call on the name of Jesus Christ and you are one of God's elect in the body of Christ. You are connected immediately, supernaturally so. Doesn't matter, because there's not 20 heads. There's not 15 different Jesuses. There's one Jesus. I'm just making sure you're clear. There's not, you know, a Jesus in Africa and then a Jesus in Samaria and a Jesus over in Canada and a Jesus in North America and South America. And No. Just one. Just in case anybody thought there was, just clarifying. There's only one, okay? Now, the dependency of these parts is what's important. Right? We're still on. Do you want to go to the next section real quick? Right? While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body. Right? But that its parts should have equal concern for who? Each other. If one part suffers, who suffers? If one part's honored, we all rejoice. So, there's two facets here that are important to understand. One is that you are dependent upon each other. Say, I'm dependent on the body. You're dependent on the body. You need the body. You also need the head. Because without the head, you're in trouble. You might walk around for maybe about 2 seconds before you go face first. And that's the whole body without the head. Right? But also note that because you are dependent on the body is also dependent on you. Hence why, if you are hurt or are suffering, everybody gets that. Everybody is right there with you. Because guess what? The body can't deal with pain that way. How far and wide does that nervous system stretch? Does anybody know? Every tip to the follicles on your head, to the tips of your toes, your nervous system runs. So if you just get a little paper cut on your finger, you will feel it down your leg. And if you've had that kind of paper cut before, you know what I'm talking about. You know it hurts. How did one thing that got hurt here send pain somewhere else? How many people go to a chiropractor, right? If you go to a chiropractor, they're going to tell you, you have stress in your lower back. And they're going to say, and you're like, oh, I need my lower back cracked. And they're going to go, no, you don't. You need your shoulders cracked. Huh? What? What are you talking about? No, your problem's up here. It's causing issues that continue to spur, that end up down to where you're feeling a pain sensation here, but the problem persists somewhere else. So We have actual physical proof that this happens, okay? So one part suffers, but others feel it. What does this all mean? The needs of each part of the body are different, and they are supplied through different parts. So as one part has need, guess where that need's fulfilled from? Now, most of us conventionally will turn around and go, oh, Jesus takes care of all of my needs, right? Well, I even said that, right? Because Jesus does take care of my needs. But how does Jesus take care of your needs? Through the body. It's not untrue. This is factual stuff. Because God supplies all of our needs collectively as a body. As one unit, as one body, God supplies all of our needs. So if one's lacking, what are you connected to? Because what I see is that we shouldn't have lack. The reason we have lack is because we're not connecting. We're not connecting. We have missing parts, folks. We have missing parts. If there's a gap that I'm not connected to another part because there's a part missing and my needs come from that other part, but that's not connected, I'm not getting sufficient need. And the supplier of that need can't pass it because there's a gap. But there should be no division. So we have something to do then, don't we? Doesn't that not make sense to you? If you know right now, I am telling you that there are needs in your life that aren't being met because there's a missing component in your life that you are unwilling to connect to have those needs met. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to sit there and go, well, I don't know. Or are you going to go find out what you need to connect to have those needs met? I'm just asking. It's a figurative question. You don't have to answer it. Just answer it in your heart. All right. But here's the cool part. Ready? The best part about this is that God has combined the members of the body. He's done that. So what that means is that if we read that in text and we go, okay, I need to understand this better or whatever. No, you really don't. You don't need to understand anything. You need to understand one thing. God's already taken care of that. The only thing that's stopping that connecting sinew from connecting to the other part is you. Because he's already done it. So if that means, and I'll break it down in the common vernacular, if that means there's a need in my life and I don't have something going on in my life and something's out of whack and God says, look, I need you to go connect with that guy down the street. I didn't connect with that guy down the street. My needs aren't still met. What do you think's going to happen once I go and I connect with that guy down the street? Oh, wow, look at that. My needs are being met. How'd that happen? I don't know. Because God already set it up. God's the creator of the body. Now, we can see that as, oh, he's created all this physical wonder inside of me, but that's not just what's being said here. That means he's created the individual diversity of every single member of the church. So that means there are people that are missing in the body of Christ, the church, that need to be connected to because there are needs that aren't being met. And we have a responsibility to make ourselves visible to connect to those body pieces. That's our job. Bet you didn't know this was an evangelism message, did you? Shh. Secrets aren't supposed to be shared. All right. So here's the other part. The last part of that is where we have that wonderful imagery of where one hurts, all hurts, but where one is honored, every part rejoices with it, right? There's something great that God wants to do. How many people can say amen? Amen. All right, and we just heard right here, right now, that there are parts that are out there that are missing, but there's something greater that God wants to do. And what's really unique, and I love alliteration in the Bible. I love it. It's fantastic. Sometimes there are themes that are carried from one section to another. And what happens in that is that there's this primer that goes out. Did anybody ever read that? You're reading through the scripture. Have you ever read, like, I don't say, sometimes people get message and they go, okay, you know, I'm just going here. And then God says, oh, go over here. And you go, oh, okay, I'm going to go over here. And then you read whatever. But if you just read straight through, and I don't mean rush read, read deep. And look where one section ends and then where the next section begins. There's this primer that's given right before that next section starts at the end that's leading you to something greater. It's leading you to that next section. Because let's be honest, this was a letter, okay? This was a letter that was being read. How many chapters? Let's not even get into that. You're going to sit down and read a letter to a group of people, okay? And you got to keep them entertained for that long. You need to kind of lead them into each part, bit by bit, all right? So that's what's happening here. So at the very end of this passage, we're going to get led into something. And I'm not going to go there, but I want you to go there on your own. Because I did, and it's great. And you should too. You should treasure this part. So go ahead, Ken. Bring us up to the next list. The last section in 1 Corinthians 27 through 31. We're going home. So now we've understood this because it's been repeated over and over again. You are the body of Christ. You are. And in each one of you is a part. So we just established that. You're a part. What part you are, that's between you and the Lord. And in the church of God, has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues, which is other languages here. I just want to make sure you're understanding. Are all apostles? No. Silly. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? That would be swell. Like everybody, like, I mean, just like, oh man, I'm not feeling good. No, I'm good now. Right? Do all speak in tongues or other languages? Do we all speak in the same language? Sometimes. I don't know. Do all interpret? Well, I mean, if you have the first, you really don't need interpretation now, do you? If everybody spoke the same language, is there really need for interpretation at that point? But here's the key. Here's the connector. Ready? Throw it out there. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. Man, leave them hanging. Oh, what's the most excellent way? Tell us! What's the greater gifts? Tell us! Could you imagine them like just going, no, we need to know more. And he's like, we'll take that up tomorrow. They're like, no! We need to know. Tune in next week. No, I'm not leaving it there. I'm not doing that. I'm not that cruel. Normally, in Scripture, we don't get a focus on the gifts, do we? Right? We usually get a focus on who? The giver of gifts. Right? We don't want to focus on the gifts. We want to focus on the one who gives those gifts. Because He's our supplier of said gift. It's not about what we do or what we have. It's about whom, right? But this is about a reinforcing factor. This is about reinforcing that dependency of parts playing a role and what those parts play and how they actually add to the body, right? Because does apostleship not add to the body? Do prophets not add to the body? Do teachers not add to the body? Do the gifts of healings and miracles and administration, do they not all have a part to play? This is yes. This is no. They do, right? But he's showing us something in how they support one another. And believe it or not, there is actually ebbs and flows. Remember I was telling you one connects down to another, to another, to another. So doesn't the apostleship connect to down? Because if you don't have apostleship, are your needs being met? No. In the early stages of this church, we knew that. We have apostleship now. Praise God. We have needs that are being met because of our apostleship. Praise God. Is there not deeper things coming through streams because of the covering that we have? Yes, there is. you can actually see how this is working, right? This is cool stuff, right? But we get something that's kind of dropped off here at the very end. And he talks about the greater gifts. Now, I'm not going to get into too much theological discussion here, but gifts is pluralized, because there's multiple people that have this gift. See, the body is many parts, but one body. This gift is many because of its many parts. So what is that greater gift? Does anybody know? You can cheat. Who said it? Love. If you go on to chapters 13 and 14, you'll actually see this continued and carried over in the theme. And what he's saying here is that that greater gift is love, which is made manifest in us individually as a single part because of what Christ has done for us. His individual love for you has created in you a gift of love. And combined, that gift or gifts are the greatest gifts that you have, because out of that, that love is what will project you to visible status. The love of Christ, that he loves you, which was actually really cool because that was coming through worship today. Did you actually feel the love of Christ hit you today in worship? He's filling you up with his love so much that you know without a shadow of a doubt who he is and how much he loves you, so that you can go and love someone else. Because there is a body part that is missing that needs the love of Jesus Christ. We have to continue to grow. And why this gift is so great is because everybody in the body carries it. No part of the body is deficient in this area. Everybody has it. It's like oxygen. Every part needs oxygen. That's what blood does. It carries oxygen, but every part of the body needs oxygen. Isn't there a song? There you go. I knew it. So we're challenged later to desire that greater gift. And the reason is for the edification of the rest of the body. So as we continue to press into that love and press into who he is and how great and wonderful he is and how awesome these things are that he's done in my life and how wonderful I want to celebrate and shout from the rooftops of how amazing he is, am I doing it for myself or am I doing it for the body of Christ, the visible, that hasn't seen the invisible? Am I willing to go there? Am I willing to go ahead and say, oh no, I'm not satisfied with just where I'm at now. No. I need to go out. I need to go and make myself visible. I need to make the love of Jesus Christ visible in my life. How many are willing to do that? How many? Because guess what? We're not doing it together. I'll go back to my image of I'm the most interesting man in the world. Who cares? Or as Holly puts it, an eyeball on the table. So my challenge. Yeah, exactly, right? What? So here's your challenge, church, today. Are we willing to put away our individualistic approach to the church and recognize that we are a body that needs all of its parts to thrive? Are we willing to embrace God's love for us as the main component that supports our other parts? And note, we cannot be selective about who God connects us with. Okay? We must instead be dispensers of love to those parts that are in desperate need of that nourishment. How else will the body of Christ survive? So my challenge is to ask God to show you how he sees his body. Ask him to give you a deeper revelation of his body. I'm challenging you. Do that. Because when you see it, not only will you be amazed at what you see, but you will also be so convicted in so many shapes and forms of what you can do to make a difference. of what you can do to increase the body. I'm just going to let that be there. When we see the body the way he does, we will see how vital we are and how all those we are connected to are affected by what comes out of us. The second is to take into consideration what then is actually coming out of you. Because if you aren't making a difference, take some time and reflect. Because maybe that difference maker that you're thinking you're making isn't making a difference, because what's coming out of you is actually not the love of Christ. And see, if we're not different and we're just like everybody else, how intriguing are we? Think about it. If we're not intriguing, it's because we're very much like what they already have. I don't know about you, but if God made us uniquely different and extravagant and amazing and wondrous and unbelievable and miracle upon miracle upon miracle of existence in his body, I don't know about you, but that is the most intriguing thing I can think of, and I want to know that more. So I'm connecting. And I'm going to ask that we do something a little weird today, but I hope we can go and do this. I want us to connect. I want us to connect. We're going to stand up and we're going to actually connect as one body of Christ. Just grab arms, grab hands. We used to do this, by the way, every morning. Every morning. Remember, Pastor? We used to do this every single morning. This church started in a small little Republican hall, actually started in a prayer, men's prayer room, but we used to start, me and Nolan, you remember, every morning we used to pray. After we set up the church, we linked arms just like this. And we prayed. And we're going to do that again today. But we're going to do it with a different purpose, because we are united as one body in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. Ken's just getting to his kid. I know what you're doing. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you for the unity in the body, God. We thank you that there cannot be division, God, because it's not of you, Lord. We thank you, God, that we cannot single each other out, God. We thank you, God, that we cannot say here at any point in time that any of these parts that are here right now are not needed, God. That every part that is connected right here together, one hand to another, is all very much important, very much needed, and very much honored and given the glory that it deserves, Father God, because you created this body, God. God, you've created us, you've connected us, you've united us, God. And Lord, if there are missing body parts that aren't here right now, Father God, I pray right now for the individuals that need to be connected to them, that Lord God, they would go and connect with them, Father God. They would want that connection, God, because there is needs in their lives, God, that will be manifested and made right, Father God, because of that connection, God. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to show us how great, how magnanimous, and how much your favor is upon your body, God, and how you are the caretaker of it, God, how you are the lifeblood, how you are the ever-present thing that continues to keep us moving and going forward, God, because you are the head, God. You lead us. Where you turn, we go, Father God. When you bow, we bow, Father God. It is all through you, Lord. It is all because of you, God, and we are here today, God, to give recognition that we are of that one body, God. We are uniquely created, God, and we are ready, God, to go and be made visible, Father God. No longer being hidden, Father God, but being open and exposed so that all can see how great and how wonderful your love for your church is and how much you love your people. Let us continue to ever flow out of that vein, never, ever going to the left or to the right. And we all give you praise and thank you for this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. If you have need of prayer, please come stay with us. We'd love to pray with you. If not, I wish you well. I wish you on your journey. Go connect in Jesus' name. Go connect. And Moira's making luminaries, not Illuminati. No.